Cities. Flashback Twin Cities. Tom Osmond. Did we do that twice? Did I say it once?
Oh, we got you somewhere right in the middle
okay,
there.
Okay, perfect.
Well, just making sure that you guys were good to start.
We have a disco party going on here. We got our guest dancing before the show. It's good.
That makes every show a little bit better.
No one knows the song except the guy next to me right now. Someone knows what album the song came from. Do you know what album the song came from?
No, I don't.
The Saturday Night Fever soundtrack? You don't have it?
I know what it is, but I don't know what album it came from. I was here.
You were here.
I was dancing since then.
Tom Osmond here, the next hour. Tom Hsu running the board. And we got Neil Murray, the priest from the East here, hanging out with us in studio.
I had forgotten that I had that name at a time.
I bring things back from the past. That's like the Ghost of Christmas Past. I just bring it all back.
Now, are we moving now? We're on?
We're on the air.
In Stillwater. On the river.
On the river. It's two below.
I thought it was four below. I was going to mess it up there.
This is going to be the fastest radio ever. Do we have our guest on? We have a guest first before we get started here. Tom Osmond, Flashback Twin Cities at KLBB Club 1220. Apologize for the informal start of our show, but
it's a great start.
It's a great start. We have one of our return guests, our good friend Jack Stallman. He is performing in Martini and Olive starting next week. Jack, are you on the line?
Yes, we are, and Judy's here too.
Hello, Judy.
We got you on speaker.
Great. So tell us about this year's show.
Well, first of all, just to give you a little bit of an overview of the show, we are a cheesy 70s lounge act. It was actually created by Judy Hennigan and Grant Ritchie, and I'm thrilled to be part of it. And I'm going to let Judy speak a little bit about the history and a little bit about what we're doing this year.
Yeah, it's the Martini and Olive Show. We started with just one medley. We do medleys of 70s hit songs, and we're a comedy lounge act, and it's grown since the mid-90s when we started. We started with one medley, and then we added the Swizzle Stick Dancers, who are the creme de la creme of adult dance class. They're hysterically funny.
They are.
And really, really wrong. We also have a funny security team who gets the audience going, and they do some great bits. And our manager, who's over-medicated and ready to rock, Vince, he does original songs and plays his guitar, and he's a riot. And so it's a variety show, and we call it Taking Care of Christmas, and we've got wild costumes, and we have some really wonderful holiday bits. We've been doing it. Grant Ritchie and myself, we created it, like I said, back in the mid-90s, and Grant, unfortunately, died 4 years ago. He lost his battle with cancer, and we haven't then done Martini and Olive here for a while because we were just regrouping and thinking how can we carry on. Grant always wanted us to keep going, and we've got a great fan base here, and it's so much fun, the show. And so we thought, all right, we're going to keep it going, and we found Jack Stallman, and
we found Jack Stallman.
Yes, he was wandering around the streets of Minneapolis, just aimless. And we said, you need to be Tony Martini.
I was lost, but now I am found. That's Tony, which is really cool. I'm an old student of Grant's, and it's nice to be filling his boots.
In full disclosure, I am too. And I have a can we play a little audio here, Tom? Can you play some audio from our... We have some audio of...
Cool.
That's the way. Are you booging? Are you guys booging? Are you over medicated?
Yeah, booging. Yeah.
Yeah, we have our polyester on. We're method actors, mm-hmm. So we through the holiday season wear nothing but polyester. So don't touch us for fear of shock.
Right.
Or flame. You know, flames. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. Lime green. So I'm hoping.
And this year we're excited because we were on the show last year. Thanks, Tom. You're always such a great supporter of us. And last year we were on the West Side, and we're just thrilled this year we're on the Centennial Showboat downtown St. Paul, which is such a cool venue and really great for the Stillwater audience, too, instead of having to go to Excelsior, which is where
right.
we were last year, too. It's a much shorter drive. And we're running the show December 14th and running it through
the 29th.
The 29th.
Every
there.
Saturday and Sunday.
Every Saturday.
On the
Sunday.
Showboat.
That's
and,
right.
And then one Monday night, we also do the 23rd Monday night on the Showboat.
Christmas Eve Eve.
And it's going to be rockin', and there is a full bar for those of you who care about that.
Yeah, we did audience survey
come on.
Forms, and they said the show was better with a little
liquor.
With a little help.
Liquor, yeah.
Well, and Judy, this show was originally the Bryant Lake Bowl for many years, correct?
Yes, we opened the Bryant Lake Bowl with the show, and then we moved on. We've gigged in Kansas City, Los Angeles, Seattle, Orlando. We've toured with the show, and I live out in Los Angeles now, so we've got an L.A. cast. But this cast is the original cast, except for Jack, who's jumping in, and we've got a new swizzle stick dancer this year as well,
yep.
Which we're very excited about. So there's a lot of new stuff mixed in with the old favorites, tap dancing to the song Convoy, and our Christmas disco medley, which is a riot. We've got a lot of funny sketches. Well, it's one of those shows you really have to see to...
It's
outrageous.
It's so bad, it's good.
Yeah.
It's one of those type of shows. If you've ever seen show choir or been in show... We're like Glee, but really, really over the top. It's going to be really good. As a matter of fact, just recently we did Sample Night Live at the History Theater, which is... You know, some of the best acts around town, and we won the Audience Choice Award.
The Audience Choice Award.
Yeah.
Are you wearing the medallion right now with your green polyester? I hope.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you brought this up because I said, "Okay, what do we win?" And they said, nothing.
Nothing, but you can
come back
next year.
Oh. Okay.
Fantastic.
Great. No, but that was a lot of fun, and Sample Night Live is a good thing, too.
It's a really cool thing.
Really
every month they do, they have several acts, like about 13 different acts, so you get a sampling of what the theater, dance, art, music, what's happening in the Twin Cities, and then you can pick what you want to go see.
So if we want to buy tickets, where do we send our legion of listeners?
They can go to riverrides.com. It's river, the full word, and then ride, so there's a double R there, riverrides.com, or they can call the box office directly at 651-227-1100. I'll give that number one more time. It's 651-227-1100. Did I say that wrong the first time?
No, you said it right.
You said it right.
Okay.
You're right. You're not overly medicated.
The Minnesota Centennial Showboat website. And if you want to see more of Martini and Olive, you can go to our website, www.martiniandolive.com.
And I actually just pulled some video from martiniandolive.com. It is fantastic. I've seen the show many times, full disclosure. Graham Ritchie was a teacher of mine also, fantastic man, and I still, every season mourn his loss, but I'm glad that the show is living on with your Jack and through you, Judy, it's just a great show, and I encourage people who have not seen it or seen it before to go back and see it. I've seen it, 16 years now, and every time I laugh, even some of the jokes I've heard before, much of the 70s, it's so bad it's good, and you guys do a great job. And rumor is you guys might have two tickets for our listeners today?
That's right.
Well, I have a trivia question for the listeners. This is a trivia question. You guys can, if you know the answer, don't say it out loud yet. What was the highest grossing movie of the 1970s, not including Star Wars? That's too easy. So the second highest grossing movie of the 1970s. You take Star Wars out of the equation. What was the next highest grossing movie? First caller, 651-275-1220. 651-275-1220. Two tickets for Martini and Olive, the highest grossing movie outside of Star Wars in the 1970s.
We have some guesses over here, but we're not gonna blab. We're probably wrong anyway.
You know what? A lot of the 70s is wrong, so that's just fine. Jack and Judy, I appreciate you coming on the show today. We're looking forward to the show. And again, it's riverrides.com, 651-227-1100 for tickets. Or you can try to be the first caller here at 651-275-1220 and guess that movie trivia.
Very cool. Thank you, Tom. And we might as well throw this in. If someone's looking for a really fun New Year's Eve thing to do, we're also going to be at the Chanhassen Theater, Dinner Theater, on New Year's Eve, doing a big, splashy boogie countdown. So come check out the Martini and Olive Show and do that for New Year's if you
big,
are someone calling.
Big boogie countdown. We'll have all these on our Facebook page at KLBB. On Facebook, and looking forward to seeing you guys. I'll see you both next Saturday.
Oh, great, great.
Sounds great, Tom. Thanks a lot.
Take care and get some rest.
All right.
Thanks, you too. Bye.
Martini and Olive, live next week at riverrides.com. Neil Murray in studio. Welcome.
Thank you, sir.
Sorry, we had a big promo we had to run here, and now we're on to our big guest of the day, Neil Murray. You brought a song with, and I want to play this song. We're a full musical show today. Tom, you have that ready?
Should I explain it first?
You want to go ahead?
I actually rewrote "Twas the Night Before Christmas," brought it to the city, and then set it to music. That's it in a nutshell.
Let's listen to it.
Everybody gather around and listen to this. 'Twas just before Christmas, and throughout the city, the lights were just twinkling. The city was pretty. The shoppers were out in the malls and elsewhere, spending that money, spreading that cheer. The children were nestled in their bedrooms being cool, dreaming that tomorrow there'll be no school. They're singing, Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to you. Mama in her head rag, and me, well, I'm bald. We heard this loud noise from out in the hall. Mama looked so pretty, I could just sit and stare at her. But I had to get up, go see what was the matter. I limped to the window, my knees made me spastic. The glass was broke out, the window was plastic. I'm singing, Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to you. I peeled back the plastic, I looked left, then right. The full moon had made a day out of night. Then I saw movement, and I did stop and stare at a little bitty sleigh, and what seemed to be reindeer. The dude who was driving was both thick and quick. I said to myself, could this be St. Nick? I'm singing, Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas to you. Those reindeer were quick, just like wild game. And that little dude started shouting and calling them by name. Come on, Dasher, stop dancing and prancing around. I blinked one eye, they were up off the ground. Like a big dust devil dancing across a Georgia cotton.
I love it.
Thank you, sir.
Neil, you that's amazing. Now, you did this all yourself in your own studio, correct?
I'm a doo-wop singer from the old days, and I actually had a group, and we were on Chess Records with Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. Not with them, but at the same time. And I got out of the Air Force, and everybody else stayed in, so that didn't go very far. The group was called the Mandels. And, I came here, wanted to get a group, couldn't find anybody to sing, so I purchased the equipment so I could do all the voices and all the instruments on my keyboard.
And if you don't remember this voice, Neil Murray was the On Your Behalf reporter here at Channel 5 for a dozen years, 15 years, and before that he was an investigative reporter in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and before that he was a DJ, and again, you're an Air Force and a doo-wop singer. And
oh, goodness. When you put it together like that, it sounds like a nice career.
It's a great career. And a lot of people on the Facebook page, on my website, tcmedianow.com, ask, where's Neil Murray? So I had to find Neil Murray and find out what he's up to, and listen to that song there. This is some great stuff. So you've been keeping busy in the last few years.
Taking care of myself and trying to be a good guy, yes. Yes.
You came to Minnesota. We were talking about you came in today. It's 2 below. And you came from South Carolina, where you were born and raised.
Yes.
eventually living in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where it's really warm.
And went there in the Air Force. That's how I ended up in New Mexico. Went to the University of New Mexico, got that taken care of, and ended up in radio and then television. And one day I received a phone call from Stanley Hubbard saying, why don't you come visit us up here? And I did. And matter of fact, I saw that movie you were talking about on that trivia question there, and I was in Honolulu giving myself a vacation before I moved to Minnesota. Star Wars.
No. That's the answer to the question, which we're going to find out if someone knows yet.
That outdrew Star Wars?
No, it's second outside of Star Wars. The question was the highest grossing movie except besides Star Wars, because that's just too easy to say Star Wars. This was the highest grossing movie of the 70s. We're going to – let's take this caller here. Then I'm going to go back with Neil here. Do we have – Tom, do we have our callers ready? We have all kinds of things going on today. We got music. We got you. We got – all right, Tom, first caller?
Yeah, hello?
Yes, and the answer is?
Yeah, Love Story?
Not close, not quite. Thank you, though.
Okay.
Do we have one more caller, Tom? All right. Second caller. And the answer is?
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Ah, wonderful. Go right ahead.
Is the answer Jaws?
The answer is Jaws. The highest grossing movie outside of Star Wars was Jaws. Very good. Tom, do you want to give us information?
Absolutely. Sure. If you want to hang on the line, I'll be right with you.
Thank you.
Okay. What does he get to call in again next week, or what does he win?
He wins tickets to Martini and Olive. We just
listened to them. Okay.
So they're going. He's going to see. Do we have a name, Tom, or our winner? Tom, what's our winner's name?
Michael.
Michael. Michael, congratulations. You know your movies.
You know, as I sit here now, I must thank two young ladies in a silver SUV who directed me on how to get here, because I was following detour signs. Then when I arrived, I was still lost, and the lady at a place called Lucky's.
Right across the street.
She pointed across the street and said,
did she tell you want to go to Lucky's? And you're thinking to yourself, I'm not sure if I want to go to Lucky's. Lucky's in Stillwater. So you came here 35 years ago, and
yes,
it's 2 below today, and you were in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Stanley Hubbard says, we need someone here in this market to do not consumer reporting, because we had Mr. Fix-It here in Minnesota. We already had a guy, unfortunately passed away, you know, Skip Blusher. He was doing Mr. Fix-It, and that was kind of consumer reporting.
We shared an office for a while. We became friends.
Okay. But we were looking for someone to do not only investigative reporting, but something called Crime Stoppers, which was the forefather of America's Most Wanted. And you kind of brought that here and did reenactments. And tell me a little bit about how that happened.
There's a police officer who was on vacation with his wife. He's from Albuquerque, Greg McAleese. He returned to Albuquerque, and he had an idea for a show he'd seen in London, and they could readapt it. And the police chief called all of the GMs of the stations, and the mayor had a big meeting. And my GM said, Neil, this is something maybe you can reenact, but it's going to take a year because we got to get a board of directors and raise money for rewards and stuff. So someone else might have done it the first night, but I was the first. There may have been other firsts, too. And that's one of the things that Stanley Hubbard wanted me to bring here. So I introduced it here. Matter of fact, a press conference, the same night they introduced Tony Boza was the night I introduced Crime Stoppers. And I was just a little kid.
That's right. You were about 13 years old when you came here.
14.
So how was – you were working for Hubbard Broadcasting at KOB-TV in Albuquerque.
KOB Radio.
KOB Radio, okay. Mm-hmm. And you were doing music, and you were doing
– it's similar to this station, really.
Right.
Easy listening, you know.
And then you were actually a sportscaster for a brief period of time.
Yes.
And then you kind of fell into this world of investigative reporting, because your background is not – journalism, correct? It's
speech communication.
Sure.
I started off in architecture. I had out in school over 11 years doing different things, but I was working two full-time jobs all the way from 63 to 76.
Mm-hmm. Mind if I interrupt you for a second?
Yes.
You have a caller, Duncan. He's over in Denver right now listening, and he'd like to ask you a question. You're up on the air.
Duncan.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I used to listen to Neil Murray. I was an undergrad, and I used to listen to his Sunday radio show. And I always wondered where he got that moniker from, Priest from the East. And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
You said his name was Lewis?
Duncan.
Duncan.
Lewis Duncan. When I went on the air on a radio station, an FM station, back when only FMs were in expensive cars, and they did opera and stuff like that, and this gentleman... Earl Craven, he said, Neil, you can come on my station if you have records. So I had a couple of hundred, and then we got them from. Anyway, I needed a name because it became very popular at the University of New Mexico and in the city of Albuquerque. And there was a gentleman named Claude Ward. He was a football player. He said, Neil, why don't you call yourself the Priest? So I thought about that. I said, wait a minute, I don't want to have a run-in with the church. You know, my father was a minister, a Methodist minister. Mm-hmm. So I thought about it for a while. I said, okay, I'm going to call myself the priest from the East. And it stuck to the point where that FM station, that show, got a one, I think, in the ratings, which was unheard of for FM.
Right, right.
And I got an offer to work at KOB, the 50,000-watt golden voice giant of the Great Southwest, mm-hmm. Radio 77, KOB Albuquerque.
And Hubbard's owned that station.
Yes.
And that's for your first
commercial radio job, yes.
There you go. And so you did this, you know, did DJing, and then were you a sports fan? Did you want to do some sports casting? You wanted to be on TV? Because you did promos for KOB. You were a promo promotion director, correct?
Yes.
And then you did the thing that a lot of us unfortunately do. You get on the air and like, this is kind of fun. I kind of like this.
Well, actually, I got when I graduated, I called a gentleman I'd become friends with. He was a sales manager at ABC Television. Mm-hmm. Said, do you have any openings? He said, boy, Neil, we have a $2 an hour part-time copywriter. Mm-hmm. I said, I'll take it. He said, seriously? I said, yes. So I did, and 2 weeks later, I created a form that the salesman would fill out mm-hmm. and introduce me to the people they sold the commercials to, so they were free to go out mm-hmm. and get new business while I produced that commercial. Mm-hmm. And then the promotion manager quit. I became the promotion manager. Then they started 5 o'clock newses all over the country. Mm-hmm. I became the sportscaster. Then the guy doing On Your Behalf investigative stuff didn't last very long, and I asked for that and got it. And a year later, I got a call from Stanley Hubbard, asked me to come here.
And what did they do to entice you to come to this cold, frigid place?
You know, my kids are half Hawaiian, okay, which mm-hmm. is funny you asked that question. The schools.
Okay.
Because I went to 9 different states, 9 different stations, mm-hmm. markets larger than this one, mm-hmm. and I chose here mm-hmm. because of the public school situation.
We do have great schools here, and you've been here ever since. You have not left the state. I was talking to you before the show started. You enjoy your fireplace and looking at that snow from the indoors.
I like the 2 below. I do.
I guess today, Neil Murray, and if you recall, this is the guy that used to point at you if you were a bad guy. Now, if you're a good guy, you're fine, but bad guys fear this man. We actually have an ad. I sent it to you on email, and I posted it on our Facebook page, and you're pointing, and it's a bad guys fear this man.
It's very intimidating.
Tom's a little afraid right now, actually. I'm
a little concerned.
You know, I never thought of it like that. I never thought of it like that. I thought I was giving recognition to people. I'd do it in a friendly way, too, but I guess it didn't come across that way.
We find it endearing, actually. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with Neil Murray. We have actually some audio to play from Neil's very fun career at KSDP. We'll be back after this message on Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB. Flashback Twin Cities, Tom Osmond with our esteemed guest, Neil Murray, who is still, he's getting down today. I like it.
I wonder if the gentleman that called from Colorado believes the story I gave about how I got the name Priest from the East.
You have a believable voice.
Okay.
Why not?
Plausibility.
Would you make it up?
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, good. No. This is one of the first times I wish we had a camera in here, because when you were we were playing your song, you were singing to the sky, holding your arms up high.
You know, we got audio in the studio here that I can control the computer. We're going to get the webcam for the studio guest next, I think. We're going to talk to Dan about that. Tom, I got some audio I want to play here. This is from 1985. This is Neil Murray guest hosting Good Company. Not appearing, guest hosting. And if I'm going to bump the audio up here, we're going to...
Very, very popular personality in the Twin Cities. Now, he has been on the Good Company show several times. And he's done some surprising things. I don't know if you're aware of this, but Neil's kind of avocation is to be a songwriter, a singer, and he plays the piano. In fact, he does it very, very well. Now, we're going to bring out Neil in just a moment. But before we do that, let us take a look at some of the highlights of Neil Murray in the past, starting with one of his wonderful tunes.
When Good Company did a story on Neil's musical talents, he wrote a song, especially for Sharon.
She comes on the tube every day at 3. I just can't wait to get to my TV. She's got this guy standing by her side, just a smiling and a beaming with pride. What's his name?
His name is Steve.
Tell him to move, cause I do believe he's in the front of Sharon.
And when Vicki Audette went to Neil's house last fall to help clean and organize his closet, he welcomed her with a song.
When I write my book, you know you're going to be in it. There'll be an entire segment on Vicki in my closet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just wait till... You haven't been in there yet. Wait.
Here's a sample of what happened when Vicky actually got to work in his closet.
Neil, how long have you had those shoes?
The high heel shoes?
Yes.
From late 60s, early 70s, I guess, back when they were in style.
I bet. Neil, I remember wearing things like this. Doesn't it seem funny now?
From a bygone era, I hope.
Definitely. Those can go, can't they?
Maybe not. I paid $85 for these even then.
In his role as the Eyewitness News On Your Behalf reporter, Neil warned our viewers about quick weight loss products.
Don't believe in these hypey ads. There's nothing brand new that's not tested, that's safe and will work. Nothing. If it seems too good to be true, forget it. All right? Tell them Neil Murray told you that On Your Behalf.
There you go.
But you're talking about memories. Good grief.
Wow. And again, you did something that had not been done in this town before, and you were ruffling some feathers when you came here, and you were going after some companies, you were going after some local companies, some national companies, frauds, scams. People were sending you their letters and their complaints and looking for you to help them out. And
you know, I think the news director at KSTP told me this, and I didn't really believe him. He said, Neil, nobody questions anybody here. So when I was on Capitol Hill interviewing people and asking questions about stuff, and folks would become angry with me, mm-hmm. not used to being questioned on stuff. I said, well, as long as you tell the truth, it's fine, because I'm going to quote you.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, so I had to grow into that. We grew together because I didn't come here to be, you know, abusive or anything like that,
right,
or anti-business.
Right.
But it worked, and it took a little while, and Warren Spanis was the attorney general at the time, and then later on it was Skip Humphrey, mm-hmm. and Mike Hatch was the Commerce Commissioner.
That's right.
And I got to know all of these people on a first-name basis. Of course, I was not a kid. I was just as old as they were,
right,
so
right,
that's the way
right.
it worked. And with a lot of respect, it took a little while for them to trust me, and especially the Better Business Bureau. We worked a lot together.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Graham, wherever he is, somewhere west of town here. We had a good time. We did a lot of good stuff. And there are still people who see me every now and then. They have to be at least 50, 55 years old to remember me. So now I can go shopping and people don't bother me anymore.
Not quite. There's a few of us who might be a little bit younger, might recognize you, and we'd still ask you to point.
With all the equipment you have in here, you'd recognize anybody.
Do you recall like maybe your first bigger story when you came here? You initially did Crime Stoppers, but was there a story that you worked on for a long time that you went on the air that was one of the bigger stories you had broken here?
Bigger stories I had broken here. Goodness, they all were to the people that we did them on. Did a story on Best Buy when it was a small operation out mm-hmm. in Minnetonka. We did big stories on just about everybody. But mm-hmm. after people realized that it's going to be fair
mm-hmm.
and, you know, no sensationalism, didn't like that.
Right.
We didn't need it. I mean, the facts, you know, people wrote to me with proof that they'd been mistreated
mm-hmm.
and we'd go directly to the source or whomever it was and get them to correct the program. And then we wouldn't go on the air until we corrected it and
mm-hmm.
it was resolved. So it wasn't just to go on the air and tell you that beans are cheaper at Byerly's than they are at Cub,
right?
Because
right.
they aren't.
Right. Did you have a lot of doors slammed in your face?
There were some doors slammed in the face, but the only bald-headed, big mustached black guy on TV in the state, I couldn't do much investigating myself. So I had a staff of people. We had quite a few people in the
mm-hmm.
office,
mm-hmm.
and we were working on at least a dozen things all the time, trying to get on the air every week. That was the idea.
And I'm not going to try to make you uncomfortable, but you made allude to this. There was not a lot of people of non-whites on TV in 1979 when you came here.
When I came here, Channel 9 had more blacks than anybody.
And they had the smallest operation of
it. Yes, they did. Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know who they belonged to because Gannett hadn't come to town yet.
Are you talking about Channel 9 or Channel 11? Channel 9. They were owned by United Television.
Okay.
There you go. But there was not a lot of, in fact, I mean, even women was kind of a new thing for TV in that, you know, that era in the late 70s. So you had a very different, not only were you doing stories, you're doing stories were very different, but you just had a different look and a different approach than other people were.
You know, it was a situation where you had to find your path because when I came up here, the 2% black,
mm-hmm.
I was told.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like, I remember in the military when I was in one of 23 countries, there were so few blacks in the Air Force
mm-hmm.
that if you saw a black guy walking on the street, you'd wave at him. Well, that's what blacks did here when I came here. You didn't see, you could
like,
go a week and not see
yeah.
one. It's like, where'd you come from? It's kind of different now. But
Were you welcome here when you came here? Were you welcome? Did you feel at home? Did you feel accepted? Did you feel like people here were, regardless of your background, regardless of where you came from, Minnesotans have a tendency, and people that have lived here have said the same thing, very welcoming, but yet people, you know, we have generations here, and people, you know, have long, so newcomers sometimes feel a little bit of a chill, not literal, but a little bit of a chill. Did you feel that when you came here at all, or was it?
I had to grow into it, or they had to grow into me.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? Somebody
that's
right.
That's
right.
He's giving me cues.
I thought he was telling us to get out of here. Something happened.
No, you're good. You're good.
I wouldn't do that. I don't want to get pointed at.
I had to make a lot of, not had to, I was asked to make a lot of speeches at schools and stuff like that. I remember one in particular, before Hill Murray became a school, there was Hill and Murray.
Right, right, St. Paul.
Mm-hmm. I went to make a speech, and the people that came in the room all had Murray. I thought it was the recognition. I said, what a place. All right.
This is the coolest place ever.
But yeah, it was, I learned what was funny and what was not funny up here because, you know, the comedy in Albuquerque is different than it is here or than it is in Seattle. It's just different. But once I learned about Minnesota, it was easy. And my kids had a good time and nobody went nuts and they all went to college when they graduated from Armstrong.
And were your kids angry that they were brought to this really cold environment? I mean, great schools, but then again, in middle of January, it's not Albuquerque.
19 January 78 when they first arrived after the truck brought the furniture in and stuff. I saw them standing outside this cab looking up at the house like, what was he thinking? But about a week later, they were into it and no problems.
We got some more video here. I'm going to play some more of this Good Company video from 1985. This is Neil giving a little background on it.
Wait a minute. My mustache is black on there. Was I dyeing it or what? Oh, that was a long time ago. I'm sorry. Okay, go on.
It's black today, too.
They put me as a draftsman, trained me to be a draftsman at Fort Belvoir. So I almost went into architecture. If I'd put music first, maybe I'd be blowing a horn somewhere.
We have some pictures, speaking of that, of you in the Army. As a matter of fact, we go back
Air Force.
In the Air Force. Well, we have the Army pictures, so that's kind of funny. I don't know where we got those. But let's take a look at Neil going. We're going to go back further than the Armed Forces. We're going to go back to when you were a kid. Hey, there he is at age 17. You knew at that point he was going to be a crusader. Where were you there?
I was in St. Matthew, South Carolina. I was a young Negro. That's 20 minutes later, fully prepared for this. That's age 17 also in the Air Force. That's about age 19 and 20 in the Air Force. I was a boxer for a while.
Did you win?
Heck yes. That's why I got out of it and got into television. It's too successful. I had a vocal group, a cappella group in the Air Force, and we won first place worldwide in the military a cappella singing contest, and that's the photo that ended up on the front of the base newspaper. A few years later, I had a band of my own, doing a few notes there at an officer's club, I guess, in Albuquerque.
And you sang, obviously?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
Band played loud, nobody could tell, you know, just... I was a disc jockey called the Priest from the East.
Oh, great.
Talked about trash and retired refuse worker. 1977, you know, this is the Moana on Waikiki. Lady comes out in the audience and grabs people and dares them to dance. I wore her out.
I believe it.
I gave myself a trip to Honolulu before I came here. That's when I saw Star Wars.
Saw Star Wars in Honolulu
in
1977.
Honolulu, yes.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I did like it. I'm a sci-fi guy. Matter of fact, I've rewritten that movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Did you know?
The book. I don't know what to do with the book, but I've rewritten it.
Well, maybe someone listening today will want to pick you up on that.
You're a publisher?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, look at that. You got a picture of you. You like fishing, too.
I love fishing, but I only eat trout.
Okay.
Now, that's in Lake Kashishibaug in northwestern Ontario.
The video Neil's referring to here, it's on tcmedianow.com. If you want to check out a little bit more about Neil, it is a Good Company from February 28th, 1985. I found this about 2 months ago, and I sent it to Neil, and it's a lot of fun. So check it out.
Reawakening for me.
Exactly. So what have you been up to? So we talked a little bit about your time and career. You did, you know, some great things at Channel 5. You left Channel 5 in the late 80s, and what have you been doing the last 15 years or so?
I write and voice and produce stuff.
Okay.
Nobody full-time. Mm-hmm. I'm a client and a volunteer at the Courage Center, which is now Courage Kennedy Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about it. Don't have much time for anything else.
That's great. And you're still doing a lot of writing, doing a lot of music writing still?
A lot of music writing, a lot of recording, and book writing.
And you have an album that's actually available online, correct? People can actually go online and buy this album, correct? Or your song. They can purchase your...
You found that?
I did find that.
Some gum.
That's right. Hey, they're not the only investigator in this room.
I'm finding it out. Goodness.
So where can they buy that? CD Baby?
CD Baby, yes.
CD Baby, Neil Murray's song. If you like the song you heard today earlier in the show, you can buy that. And actually, can you download it online or can you just buy it offline?
You know, I tried to go and just hear it online once, and I had to pay for it, so I
can't. Someone's always ripping you off, right? Someone's always after you.
I'm wondering why no station does what I used to do.
You know, we've talked about it. We've had actually a few guests on in the past, and you know, and I actually want to ask you about that. You were doing stuff that in today would maybe be a conflict of interest because stations right now are so advertising heavy right now, and it's the hand, biting the hand that feeds you. If you're going after companies that are people are feeling wronged by, and you're going out doing that for a 2-week, 3-week investigation, coming up on a video story, and then you go to the commercial break, and there's a commercial for the company which you've been spending 3 weeks researching on, finding some things that maybe weren't done correctly.
You know, there's a reason that never happened publicly. There's a reason. I'll give you the reason now. Mm-hmm. If we received a complaint and we checked into it and it was a valid complaint, mm-hmm. I would contact the highest ranking person in that organization and say, hey, mm-hmm. you need to do something about this. Mm-hmm. And if they did, we were gone. My objective was not just to get on the air. It was to clear the stuff up, and mm-hmm. then people would watch you anyway. Mm-hmm. So we wanted viewers. But if you were doing something and it wasn't right, I would let you know. Mm-hmm. And 2 weeks later, if we're still getting complaints, then you had to go on the air.
Did you ever have a challenge from management saying, why are you going after them? Why are you going after this?
Yeah, there were some discussions. But when I told them what I just told you, I said, look, when I call them and try to get them to talk to me, they can't hang up and call you.
Mm-hmm.
They get to do that once. The next time, if they do that, then we're going to follow through. And we never had many problems with that kind of stuff.
Integrity is never challenged, you're saying?
No.
That's great. No. That's great. Do you miss it? Do you miss being able to do it? Do you miss being able to have a camera with you and a producer and go into these companies and being able to do it on the air? I'm sure you can do it. You can go and knock some doors now, but do you miss that? Do you miss some of that drive of TV?
Kind of. Yeah, and what I don't miss... Well, just about now, like I said, if you're not 50, 55 years old, you don't know who I am. But mm-hmm. it used to be if I walked into a store mm-hmm. anywhere, the manager would come shop with me because somebody said, hey, there's that guy.
Yep.
Like that. So
you welcome your anonymity back.
Yes. I haven't had – I didn't know what it was like until now.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, if I went out in public and you had a ripoff going there and you saw me mm-hmm. and you came to me to tell me your ripoff – I had to pay attention to you, mm-hmm. or I was a blankety-blank.
That's right.
And people own you, in other words, but you want them to own you.
You couldn't go to Ember's and just sit down and eat because someone would be...
There was a place in the IDS called the 50th Floor. Is mm-hmm. this restaurant?
Windows in Minnesota. It's no longer in business, but you actually overlook all of Minneapolis, and they still do weddings there.
I was in there once with a date, and I went to wash my hands, and I came back, and a couple had moved their plates and stuff to my table. So was that? Then you have to be nice and try to figure out how to get out of that. But mm-hmm. Couldn't be mean. I had to take their complaint down, or you were a bad guy. So that was part of the deal. But if people recognized you, that was part of the deal too. That's what you wanted. But now it's at the point where old people like me mm-hmm. recognize me. Say, aren't you? Or they'll send
or
a little
you
kid.
Used to be?
That little kid came to me one day and said, "Didn't you used to be somebody?" I knew his parents sent him over.
It's like, yeah. This kid, go ask that guy. He'll tell him about our guest today, Neil Murray. He was the On Your Behalf reporter at Channel 5 and multi-talented in fishing and boxing and architecture and all those other things we're finding out today. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back here on Flashback Twin Cities on KLBB.
I'm Neil Murray. Join me Monday as On Your Behalf takes on the promoters of Tumorex, an alleged cure for cancer. You'll witness the heartbreaking experiences of some Minnesota cancer victims that ultimately sends the On Your Behalf investigative team on a trail of fraud from here to Phoenix, Arizona, and Tijuana, Mexico. Many of these cancer victims have been duped at a going rate of $3,000 each. I'll see you Monday night on the Eyewitness News Update. It's On Your Behalf.
Channel 5, Eyewitness News, the news specialists. We're the team.
It's me. Flashback Twin Cities, Neil Murray. Hard-hitting story, Tubelex.
We went to four different states following up on this stuff. Attorneys general in all the states we talked to and ended up in San Ysidro, California, and Tijuana. You talk about a ripoff, because these were people who had gone through all of the treatment they could get at the time, cancer-wise, mm-hmm. and they were dying.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was easy to get their money. And this guy, we went to... People couldn't get out of the car in Tijuana to go to his office. Mm-hmm. He would come out in the dust, dirt, parking lot, and just lower the window and give him a shot right there in the car. $3,000, you know.
Really?
It was sad. It was really, really sad. A lot of times I didn't get angry about what was going on, but that was... But these guys were doctors, but they moved across the border, and they were kind of safe. Some had offices in San Diego also, but...
When you first start stuff like that, I mean, do you ever expect it to go to Tijuana? I mean, is that the farthest weird place that these things ended up?
Someone, I think a mailman in Minnesota who went to different homes and knew these people with cancer.
Sure.
And he called me one. He said, you know, I need 11 people. There were 11 people. Mm-hmm. I said, could you get one of them to write, and then the rest of them could sign the letter?
Mm-hmm.
And it all pointed to the same shyster, right. is the word we used to use. And, boy, that one kind of dwarfed the office there for a while. It took over everything because mm-hmm. people were dying. I mean, there was one guy, he was rich, really rich. And he looked at me and he said, you're going to tell me I shouldn't try it? I should just die? I have the money. It's just that kind of a situation. It was really sad. So, and working for KSTP, we were allowed to follow like we should have, you know, and went to Dallas, went to Phoenix, mm-hmm. went to San Diego, and then to Mexico. And, boy, I saw the pictures when you put it up on the screen there. That's kind of sad because people were dying and this wasn't going to help them at all.
It's amazing to me. I look at comparing TV news today to then, and then, you know, there's better or worse no matter what area you're looking at. But this was a time where you need to go to Tijuana. Here's a plane ticket. You go and do it. I think there's a lot more budget constraints now.
Keep in mind now, this is Hubbard Broadcasting.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah.
And it was locally owned.
Mm-hmm.
And
no calling New York to get okay on the plane.
No corporate headquarters you had to deal with if it was something that was real. And after a point when Stanley trusted me,
mm-hmm.
when we said this is what we needed to do, there were no questions about it. We got to do it.
Mm-hmm.
A matter of fact, I went to one. It was a gathering of investigative reporters, and people from 60 Minutes were there, 2020 and mm-hmm. stuff. And introducing ourselves around the first day, and this guy came over to me, and he was a producer for 60 Minutes. He said, Neil, right? I said, yes. He said, KSTP? I said, yes. Mm-hmm. He said, Country Club Television. He meant we could do anything that mm-hmm. that the network could do.
Right, didn't
matter, you know. Not junk television. It was serious stuff.
No, and you know, the Hubbards, you know, they're in the Broadcast Hall of Fame, not because they have a TV station, because they...
Because of me.
Because of you,
no,
mostly.
No, I'm just kidding.
You know, they...
Oh, Stanley, listen to this? Hi, Stanley. I hope you're doing well, my man.
I hope Stanley... You know, he has four stations in town. I hope he's listening to I hope he's listening to KLBB 1220. I'd be impressed. No, and you testified before Congress on Consumer Reporting, correct?
Yes.
You did some... You were doing a lot. You were a high-profile man for a long time.
Matter of fact, that changed the law. Let's see. It was the time when postage stamps were 26 cents, and the committee that meets to raise or lower the price, mm-hmm. they made it 27, 28, 29. But that was – they voted along with – because people would sell you something,
mm-hmm.
COD.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And they deliver it, and you had to pay.
For the junk they sent you.
Whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the mailman, the post office, had 24 hours to pay the shysters. That's the way the contract worked.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't a part of the deal, but they were a part of the deal. They made it work. Not intentionally, not like that. But, hey, we changed the law so that you wouldn't get penalized by your bank if you stopped payment on a check.
There's a video that I wish I could find, but you took a chain letter on the air and tore it up. And, you know, it happened to you, tear a chain letter up, you know, bad things happened to you. And I think your friend Bob Bruce was startled when you tore this chain letter up. Because, and then you made the comment some years later on the news. Well, you see, now Ron's gone and Dennis is gone, but you're still here. But that's what happens when you rip a chain letter up on the air.
I communicate with Ron every now and then. I guess Dennis Felkin went back to Florida. I don't know.
Yeah, he's back in
Florida. I don't know where he is.
He appears in Flashback Twin Cities once in a while.
Where's Bob Bruce these days?
He is in Pittsburgh. He's right.
Teesburg.
Yeah, that's right.
All righty.
And you're here.
I'm still here.
You're in Minnesota.
Yes.
Have you had any calls, you know, since, you know, during Channel 5, after Channel 5, from the stations in town saying, you know what, we need you back. Come on back. Come on, do some, you know, point, go, you know, ruffle some feathers, knock on some doors. No calls yet?
Not one.
I don't believe it.
I don't believe it. I've gotten it from other markets.
Mm-hmm. You know,
Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
Boston,
mm-hmm.
Baltimore, Los Angeles, San Francisco.
But not the right
Atlanta.
Offer. To, not the right offer to make you leave.
Well,
yet.
I don't want to move to any of those cities.
Right,
that's it.
Right.
I can do something. I could produce or whatever. I don't have mm-hmm. to go on the air. But
mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm here and I'm well and I'm capable.
That's great. Well, no, we're good to have you on here. And tell me, you know, if you can think of a couple more of your favorite events on your behalf. You know, one or two more stories that you want to share with the audience.
You know, I always pause when you ask me that because I don't want to hurt any. Some people are still around.
You know what? The statute of limitations is long gone now. We're.
Well, this feature I used to do on Flag Day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The 12th or 14th of June.
Of June, right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Every year on Flag Day, a month ahead of that, when I'm on the air, I would say, remember, Flag Day is coming next month, and blah, 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 and there's flag etiquette, and boom, boom, boom. And a couple of days before Flag Day, I'd get a cameraman, we'd ride around and shoot flags, and then tilt down to the name of your business.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm only interested in torn and tattered, embarrassing flags.
Mm-hmm.
So the first show, I said, you know, a lot of folks don't seem to care.
And you're recent in town, right?
Yes.
Brand new in town, okay.
Don't seem to care about flag etiquette, but you know, if you go to the Veterans Administration, they have a free booklet, tells you what not to do. It's not in the dark, you don't put it in the dirt, and you got to keep the flag looking.
How many years in the Air Force?
4 years, just 4 years.
So you know a little about flag etiquette.
Oh yes,
yeah,
oh, yes.
Right.
The first night, the first show, we showed the flag of the Minneapolis City Hall and tilted down. You couldn't even tell what color the flag was. Stillwater. City Hall. Mm-hmm. You couldn't tell whose flag it was.
Mm-hmm.
There was a fire department on University Avenue and several car dealers.
Mm-hmm.
But those huge flags they would have like
20, 20 of them. All right.
Oh, yeah. Then the next year they look like the devil. It'd be tattered and torn, and you're not supposed to do that.
Well,
so,
Neil, those flags cost $5 a piece to replace them. Come on.
Well, that's something. Old Glory is worth more than.
Well, and that's my point. My point is to.
Oh, I know what your point is. But I just. People were angry with me at first, and then they would complain to Stanley, and he would call me upstairs the next morning. There'd be three or four people there, and I'd just put the tape in and show what was aired the night before. I said, hey, that's embarrassing. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that.
So you played video of all these businesses in town and their tattered flag.
While Ray Charles sang, Oh, Beautiful.
There's a way to introduce yourself. I'm Neil Murray. Welcome to town. I'm looking for your flags.
But I told everybody a month ahead of time, you know, come on, if your flag is torn and tattered, don't come on.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in the Air Force, it wasn't tolerated, and it's not tolerated here. If you care enough to fly the flag, fly it properly.
Right, right. Well, you know, after the bicentennial, I think people, you know, then it was like, back to normal. You know, those flags are fine now for another decade. Well, now, you know, your flags have to be made in America now, so you cannot buy a flag now.
Well, I'm so happy about that.
Isn't that right? Isn't that great?
It's difficult to find enough stuff made. You go through your house and see what you have. Say, I'm going to go all American. You'll be sitting on the porch by yourself.
Do you still have the platform shoes? Do you still have the platform
still
shoes?
Still keep the platform. When I want to be 6'1", because I'm like 5'10", yes, I got to wear those shoes.
He's got some inches on me. Yeah, I might have to
me too.
Sometime, right? Exactly.
You're the tallest one here, man.
So did you never got like, you never got a chance to say goodbye in there. You never got a chance to say, hey, you know, to your audience, I'm taking off. Well, here's your chance now. We have thousands of people listening to this show. And
you really?
Sometimes. Tom and I were just discussing this.
Actually, if you go to our audio on demand, you can listen to a lot of the past shows that we've had on Flashback Twin Cities.
And I just added 18 states because I
know.
By the way, this man right here, Tom Shue, he's done a remarkable job. So I do encourage you to go to klbbradio.com. Check out our audio on demand page. Tom has done a fantastic job on this page.
You are the man.
You can also go to iTunes. So you were telling me your son worked on the iPhone a little bit. You can check out the KLBB podcast and download that. So in a few hours, this will be able to be listened to and downloaded all over the world.
Is there any pressure in what you do here, both of you?
Any pressure? How do you mean?
Because you both seem overly happy. I've been over here an hour and a half before this, you know, and everybody's smiling, and we come on the show in the same attitude. I think it's great.
But we have pressure put on a high-quality product.
Yeah, exactly. You were in the Air Force. I was in the Navy, and my
chief.
You? Yep, and my chief was always asking me, how are you so happy?
It was
and I would
war,
tell him
right?
I fell down a lot. There's not a war. Yeah, that's actually a good one.
You know, I'm just happy to be able to tell these stories. I want you to be able to tell the audience, you know, a message from you that people wonder about you, what's going on. Here's your chance to have what Channel 5 didn't give you.
When you see me on the street, if you recognize me, I'm not investigating anybody these days. So just say, hi, Neil. And don't send a little kid over to say, didn't you used to be somebody on the parents' behalf? And, I love it here. I think it's great.
We're happy we were able to come here and you stayed here, and we're going to have you on again because there's just too many good stories. And I think we're going to find some video next time. We're going to play some more On Your Behalf audio next time.
I do appreciate it, as I appreciate Minnesota and Golden Valley.
Golden Valley, Minnesota. That's
yes.
Right. And we're in Stillwater, Minnesota, and this was Flashback Twin Cities, Neil Murray. Check out Neil on tcmedianow.com if you miss him. You can just watch Neil all day long, all night long on tcmedianow.com.
You have a broadcast from the river?
We're working on that.
Beautiful. Bring me on that cruise, okay?
We will. We'll be back next week. Later.